A concluding teaching on the subject of a supernatural response to crisis. And I want to look at something in particular today. But before I do that, let's just have an itemized recap. I put this out on Facebook, so let me just read it out. And we will recap with 9 things that we have touched on. Number 1, count it a matter for, all right, unadulterated joy with no admixture of sorrow when you fall into diverse temptations. So there must be unadulterated joy. Reason being is this: a massive door has been opened up unto you, and through that test that will lead you into a new position in life. If you respond correctly, you will be gifted with something perfect that will make others consider you as one of the fortunate and blessed ones of God. Then number 2, the 2 things that you must do throughout the journey are these. 1, rejoice, that is, enjoy the feeling of being in possession of the promised victory while you sing, before it ever materializes. And then number 2, never compromise your faith. Be steadfast. When the tide seems to be going against you, hold fast to your confessions of God's promises over that situation. Then number 3, spend time in prayer. When you are confronted a test, you must do exactly as Elijah did, tarrying in the presence of God with the word he has given unto you until he saw in the spirit realm a sign of the fulfillment of the promise on the earth. Every major test requires that you shut yourself away for a lengthy time of praying, might be a whole day, praying the word that is given to you by God until that word breaks through in the spirit realm. You say, how do I know when it has broken through in the realm of the spirit? When, while you are praying in tongues, you have shifted into another gear where you are almost, all right, seeing the thing around you while you are still in prayer, which means that you are literally touching the presence of that particular thing all around you with the eye of faith, when you are still praying in tongues. You get to that place of quietness. You get to that place where there's a flow in the spirit, where you are praying at the intent of the word of God and you are seeing its fulfillment as you are praying. Without that type of prayer, you will fall into the lure of Satan, that is, setting time aside to pray, to take an alternative route, the lure of Satan, to take an alternative route to victory. Jesus warned Peter about the dangers of facing a test without having spent time or spent considerable time in prayer. He told him, watch and pray. He said, lest you fall into the temptation of the enemy. Then number 4, be quick to listen, be slow in using your tongue, and slow to expressing anger, which will result in careless speech. Understand that a man's anger has never furthered the righteous purpose of God on the earth. Don't let people come into your life, gain access to your ears, and whisper things that will amplify pain and plant a seed of bitterness in you towards others. Always remember this: the enemy of your enemy is not necessarily your friend. During a test, exercise, all right, during a test, through the exercise of patience, God is able to perfect things lacking in you. It is a time of growth and adjustment, personal adjustment. God told Paul during a test, my grace is sufficient for you. Through your weaknesses on your weaknesses, my strength will be made perfect. So there was growth in Paul's own life. And Paul realized also that he was a messenger of Satan All right, because Paul saw that he might not be exalted above measure. And I will speak to that because Paul said that. So it was a messenger of Satan. However, he said, lest I be exalted above measure due to the abundance of revelation. So he saw deeper into it and made the adjustment that he had a pride problem that was creeping up in him. Number five, receive the already implanted word. That is, what you need to win has already been sown in your heart prior to the test. So it's important that you give a more NSK to the things that you've heard. We said that's why it should be part and parcel of your practice to write down the things that God has told you, the scriptures that you look at that jump out of the pages of the Bible, even if you're listening to a message or re-listening to the tape, write those things down. Because when you confront a test, it is about receiving the already implanted word of God. And so, it is what has been sown. That's why Paul said, give a more NSK to the things that you've heard, and therefore move from just being a hearer to a doer. How do you do that? By sitting and beholding the word. Prayerfully read and reread what you already know. Fixing your gaze upon what God is saying, and then responding to the instructions contained in those scriptures. There will always be instructions. Never forget, every good and perfect gift comes from above and comes from the Father who gives it first in the form of light. You now sit with that light and let it transform you into a certain manner of man. Number seven, hold no grudges in your heart towards anyone. Remember, the judge is at the door of your heart. That's the door of your life is your heart, and he's knocking. And you open up to what Jesus intends to do for that particular situation by forgiving any that might have hurt you. Remember, when Job prayed for his friends, God turned his captivity around. Don't ignore the poor. Number eight, don't gravitate to the successful thinking that about what you can gain through association. It's called having men's persons in admiration for advantage. Read the Bible. God, you'll find out that God chooses those whom God chooses, or God chooses those who have been despised by others as his instruments for fulfilling destiny. Don't neglect those in need. Key to breakthrough in crisis is worship your God with no offense in your heart towards him. And then refuse to speak carelessly, attacking those who have the image of God in their lives while you are claiming to worship God. Don't focus on yourself, wondering who will give to me. Don't draw attention to yourself, but focus on others, visiting the poor, fatherless widows, the weak in their own time of need. If you have a friend, if you know somebody who is your neighbor, who is in need, or at that particular point in time, make it your duty to support that person to the end. In other words, to sacrifice, all right, in helping that person, not just out of convenience. Let that thing be a seed that will be in the life of that person, that somebody stood with me throughout this entire crisis and got me back on my feet. Above all, pray for wisdom. The secret to victory is in obeying God. He will ask you to do things that are counterintuitive. Just obey him. Okay, so let's look at James here. And we conclude today. James, all right, and chapter 1 and verse 12. James said this, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, or the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him, or them that were faithful unto him. Let no man say that when I'm tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts. And the Bible says, and enticed. So we looked at this scripture, and I want to talk about a type of test this morning that is just different from just an emergency situation, you know, where there's that type of crisis, you know, that, you know, I'm in a crisis now. But I want to look at it in terms of a person, all right, going through a time and period in your life where there are things probably you are believing God for, all right, where your life as a whole, right, might not be going in the trajectory in which you want it to go. Things don't seem in a general sense now, all right, not just, well, I have a specific thing that, you know, I have a pain in my toe, but just in a general sense, all right, the body of your life there. And, you know, you are under that kind of test there, which means that you feel I shouldn't be, right, in this place. This thing should have happened in my life. There are things I've wanted to happen that haven't happened and all of that. And James here spoke about the fact that, look, that anybody that endures that, he will receive a crown of life. And we said this, that during a test, and this is why it's so important that you pray, that like Elijah shut himself away and prayed, that you shut yourself away in order to spend a lengthy amount of time in prayer. So sometimes, you know, people go through things. And Jesus warned Peter. He said, won't you tarry with me for an hour? That is, watch and pray, which means take some say, lest you fall into temptation. In other words, this test is supposed to take me to the right hand of the Father, where I'll be a priest, eternal priest, high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, in the most exalted position that is available anywhere and forever. However, 3 hours of prayer, if I refuse to do this, and was telling Peter and trying to show him the gravity, said, look, I will respond to the lure of Satan, and I will not be able to obey God. I won't have the strength to do it, even though I might know what is right on the inside. I just might not be able to do it because Jesus said the flesh will be weak, even though the spirit is willing. So you might not be able to, he says, you will fall short. Peter said, no, it won't happen. I will be there. I will, nothing will happen. I won't pray. And Jesus told him and said, listen, Peter, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Tell them about this experience. Tell them that it's very important. All right? And that's how they began to approach things. So you find in Acts, when they will threaten them, they will quickly go and spend some time in prayer, lengthy time, and get a breakthrough in prayer. We saw in Acts 4, that breakthrough came as there was like an earthquake. There was some movement right there. They broke through in the realm of the spirit. And then they will get up from that place of prayer for to go and fulfill the word of God that they had prayed, all right, into existence. So if that is not done, what happens is Satan comes in. And because there is a lack of strength, he now lures the person, as James said here, through what is called the person's own lusts, all right, and draws the person away. And Peter found himself, it will have been 3 wasted years in ministry, because he went back to the fishing business, if not that Jesus was there, to come back and pick him up and put him back on course. So it's important, praying there, when you are in that time of crisis, not taking things for granted. Very important. I was listening to, you know, sometimes particular Pentecostals just take things for granted. To Reverend Funke Adejiman, she was saying something, all right, at a particular conference, and she said, you know, there was, and she told one preacher, I said, you know, we've preached for this man. And she called the name of the man. And he said, when he was growing up, in their family, there was a tussle over land. And probably the father maybe had two wives or something. But there was a tussle over the land. And their own faction won. And they won in court. So they came out. We have won. And the other woman looked and said, you have won in court, but you will lose in life. Said, we've planted things in that ground. You will see what will happen. Said, the woman just did, hey, we won, you lost. Not understanding that that's warfare. Taking that thing into the place of prayer. The accusation of the enemy, the voice of the enemy. Are you following what I'm saying here? Taking it up in prayer and neutralizing that. As it was said, that they said unto the Lord, all right, the angel said to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. In other words, in prayer, securing the rebuke of the Lord over that. To cut long story short, first child died, second child died, third child died. Finally, they ran out of the place with two children. Well, to God, man said all kinds of things happened before they finally, the man got saved. He finally realized and, you know, dealt with that particular thing there, all right, in prayer. So it's important, okay? People go through things and think that life is just, you know, as it look, things that are massive in the spiritual realm show small signs in the natural. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, the real is like the tip of the iceberg is the spirit, is the natural. Massive things are going on. So you don't take things for granted. All right, you go out, we've talked about it, I can teach it again, about the accusation of the enemy. Praying about the accusation of the enemy. And you deal with that in the realm of the spirit because words are entities. And you address that in the spirit realm. So Jesus said, pray, all right, and he was saying this, that we do not fall, okay, into temptation. And so Satan wants to lure. And what I want to speak about today, right, is a type of temptation that has destroyed many while they are going through a test, which means it's a temptation now to take the shortcut to reality. In other words, that lust, we just feel that it's about pure sinning. No, that it's about luring you away. It's about dangling a carrot to lure you away from the big prize that God has in store for you as a person. Now, we have to preach the truth. So if in the course of this message, you realize you were lured one time and you did something, repent, all right? Just tell God, God, I've seen it now. Give me a second approach on this. When you repent, God always gives a second approach and then pass the test. It's not an end, all right, in your life. Don't start crying. It's not crying. It's about repenting, which means that next time I'll go about it the right way here. And there's always another chance there. So it is about a shortcut, taking the shortcut to reality. It is what was told us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 35, where it says that the women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. You know what it is to torture a person? In other words, they were going through things and they insisted on God's way. And they were tortured. People made fun of them. They laughed at them. All right, they scorned at them. Is God really with you? But they said, we'll take all of these in order to get God's best. We are not going to compromise in order just to ease off the pressure. We are going to stay with God until it comes forth and it's the better resurrection that is going to come right within our lives there.
Thank you for listening.